In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. Question 141. How long will the Holy Ghost dwell in the Church? The Holy Ghost will dwell in the Church until the end of time. Question 142. Who sent the Holy Ghost to dwell in the Church? God the Father and the Son sent the Holy Ghost to dwell in the Church. I should say at this point that there is a controversy, it's very old, between the churches of the West, namely the Roman or Latin rites, and the churches of the East, namely the Byzantine rite or the Orthodox churches. And one of the things which separate us is this very phrase. In the Nicene Creed, the original creed simply said that the Holy Ghost proceeded from the Father. But the phrase, and the Son, or filioque, that's how you say it in Latin, the filioque clause, was added, and the Western churches pray that, and the Orthodox churches reject it. This impasse has gone on for centuries, but suffice it to say at this point that in this catechism, and to join the Roman Catholic Church, one does have to be able to pray this clause. Question 143. What does the indwelling of the Holy Ghost enable the Church to do? The indwelling of the Holy Ghost enables the Church to teach, to sanctify, and to rule the faithful in the name of Christ. Just as a human body has one soul to give it life, so the mystical body of Christ has one soul, the Holy Ghost. He dwells in the body as a whole, and in each living member, filling it with divine life. Just as a human body has a human life, so does the mystical body of Christ have a divine life, which we call sanctifying grace. Question 144. What is meant by teaching, sanctifying, and ruling in the name of Christ? By teaching, sanctifying, and ruling in the name of Christ is meant that the Church always does the will of its divine founder, who remains forever its invisible head. At the bottom of page 73 in the Catechism, we see some drawings there. First, the Church teaching, Christ standing behind the preaching of the Church sanctifying, He who is the invisible minister of every sacrament, and the Church ruling. It is He, Christ, who guides the Church in making its laws. Question 145. To whom did Christ give the power to teach, to sanctify, and to rule the members of His Church? God gave the power to teach, to sanctify, and rule the members of His Church to the apostles, the first bishops of the Church. So there are different kinds of teaching. This might be in a classroom at a university, it might be in a small class at the parish studying sacred scripture. And there are different ways of sanctifying, giving blessings, consecrations, giving out the sacraments. And there are different ways of ruling. A parish priest, for example, is charged with the rule of his flock, the rule of his parish. Now, in our times, but really in all times, a faithful Catholic will have to come across, sooner or later, something that does not seem to be authentic. Not authentic Catholic teaching, not authentic sanctifying or of ruling. How will you know that it is authentic? Well, number one, learn your catechism. And not just the Baltimore Catechism, this is only a beginning. Check out the Catechism of the Catholic Church, or some of the other catechisms, such as the Catechism of Father John Hardin, or the Great Catechism, the Roman Catechism, also called the Catechism of the Council of Trent. But first, learn this one. Try to learn it well. And if what you hear does not square with the Catechism, be aware, something that is fishy, something is probably wrong. Now, of course, this has to be cleared out. Sometimes you'll hear in a sermon, or you think you hear a particular statement and it sounds really bad. Before you jump to any conclusions, clear it up first. And that may mean speaking to the priest instead of attacking him right off the bat. Do try to understand what he is saying first. Make sure you understand it first. Now, the second way that you can know if a teaching or sanctifying his ruling is authentic is look at the 12 fruits of the Holy Ghost, which we've already covered. If you see, for example, that there is no chastity in the teaching, it's really missing. In fact, downright impurity, well, there's your answer. It is contrary, this, to the gifts of the Holy Ghost, and therefore our good Lord said, you can judge a tree by its fruits. So knowing what those fruits of the Holy Ghost are is extremely important. And there's a third way, and this has to do with the discernment of spirits. You already have it a little right now, but it will grow with God's grace, and it will enable you to smell a rat, so to speak. Even young children have this gift. St. John Vianney, the patron saint of all parish priests, was in a very small kind of backwater area of France, if you will. Farmers, peasants. And during the French Revolution, this is a bit of a long story, but I'll make it short. During the French Revolution, there were some priests who decided to swear allegiance to the new government, which was very anti-Catholic, and they were called juring priests. And then there were non-juring priests, priests who would not swear such allegiance. So at their parish, a juring priest came, and they didn't know anything about him. But when St. John Vianney's sister, who was actually younger than he, heard this sermon, she immediately said after the Mass that there was something deeply wrong. And that was key to her parents making the decision not to go to that parish anymore, not to hear that priest, and they somewhat went into hiding and would have non-juring priests, faithful to the Holy See and to the Holy Mother Church, come and in a hidden way say Mass at the barn where their family was. And the fact that she, a very young girl, could pick this out is a certain evidence of this gift of the discernment of spirits.